There's crispy. And then there's crispy-er. Try our new and improved Tyson Crispy Chicken Strips. Crispy just got crispy-er.
We are happy to have you with us on this, the first day. I guess it's the first official day of week five. It kicks off tonight. Wendy Nix, Josina Anderson, Victor Cruz, Rob Ninkovich, Steve Young will join us as he always does on Thursdays. But we will start in Minnesota with Stefon Diggs and his current situation. The Vikings wideout missed practice for undisclosed reasons yesterday, and it led to speculation about his future with the Vikings. Today, Diggs said he has not requested a trade, but did admit there is truth to all the rumors. He said that he's unsure his agent has talked to the Vikings and what has transpired.
I can't sit up here and act like everything is okay. This is obviously not, but what I can say is, at this point, just trying to work through it. I feel like there's truth to all rumors, you know? I mean, no matter how you dress it up, I won't be saying nothing on it. I won't be speaking on it at all. Everybody's known me to be three things, and that's, one, a team guy. I've always put the team before myself. I've never made it just about me. I've never been that kind of guy. So my resume and my persona kind of speaks for itself. I've never been the guy to kind of be like me. And wanting to have success and wanting to have team success is always what I've been pushing and always what I've pushed. So my language will stay the same, whether I'm given many opportunities or not a lot.
Have you asked for a trade? Have you talked?
I haven't communicated anything. More so, the conversation I have has only been about team and trying to have success on the field.
Did your agent ask for a trade?
I haven't spoke to him about it. You got to talk to him.
Hey, Stefon, do you plan to play Sunday?
I hope they let me play. I like football. I want to be a part of. I want to be a part of playing football on Sundays always.
So you'll be at practice today, you anticipate?
I hope so. I got my stuff ready. I feel a little bit better as well, too, but, you know, I'm going to keep grinding it up.
Courtney Cronin joins us now from Minnesota. She was there when Diggs spoke. And, Courtney, you heard him say there's truth to all those rumors. What's your take on what exactly he meant?
Well, Wendy, he kept repeating that phrase multiple times throughout his media availability this morning, and I think that that's him not completely closing the door. That while he did say, when I asked him straight up, did you request a trade? Did you want to be traded? And he said, I had not communicated that. And then obviously you heard the follow-up about his agent. He didn't fully close the door saying that, no, I want to be here completely. Like, that is, there's some truth to that. There might be some validity. I mean, what we've been hearing behind the scenes is that this has been something that's been brewing probably for a little bit of time now. So I think when he repeats that phrase and wants to continue to say it, while he did say he loves it here and he's been here for 5 years, he loves everything about the community, his teammates, I think there is question, you have to bring into question about whether he feels valued. He does have a role in this offense, but it is a diminished role than it was last year. And obviously he's been obsolete at times in this scheme. So I think that kind of brings things to a head to where we're at right now, wondering, are we seeing the end of an era? Is this the beginning of something that we should be more concerned with? Or is this all going to blow over eventually? Because it doesn't feel like there's smoke, there's fire. And Diggs did address that today to his credit.
Courtney, thank you. Yeah, I think in this case, it's fair to say there is some fire where that smoke's coming from. JoJo, I'll ask you, first of all, though, about a potential trade market for Diggs if he were to move on.
Well, I spoke to a team last night that I know would specifically, definitely be interested in Stefon Diggs just because they expressly told me that. And then last night, I think an inquiry was made and they came back and said that they were told that Stefon Diggs was not going to be on the market. And I see we're hearing that today in terms of other people following up on the reporting. What we do know about Stefon Diggs is that he has a career worst 3 catches per game and 5 targets per game. And even though he's coming off a career best in his production with over 1,000 receiving yards and 9 touchdowns, his production in the 2 years prior to this season has still been under Adam Thielen. And, you know, he's working with the new offensive coordinator in Kevin Stefanski. And prior to that, obviously, was Pat Shurmur, who's now the head coach of the Giants. So I think you're looking at a receiver who feels like he can do more. He might even feel like he's the best receiver on the team. And he's right. He is not a me guy in terms of how he portrays himself publicly. I've covered him a lot of times. I was there for the Minnesota Miracle. I've covered so many of his games. And by comparison, you would definitely not put him out there. But in that sense. But just listening to his words and the fact that he did leave the door open with certain things that he said, he is letting you know that he is frustrated. And I also think that it fits within the era of athletes right now, this season and last season, being more vocal about their situations, taking more control of where they feel like they can best flourish. And I'm getting the hint, although I have not talked to him directly or his agent, that he's trying to let people know that he feels like everything is not completely kosher with how he feels.
It's funny you say that, JoJo, and I think it was Steve Young who made the point 2 weeks ago with the genie sort of being out of the bottle. This is another example of a player, I think, trying to sort of take some control of a situation that from his perspective is not working the way he'd like it to work.
Yeah, and I think it's a direct reflection on the quarterback play that's been in Minnesota. Obviously, his diminished role isn't because of, you know, injury or lack of talent. It's because the quarterback just isn't getting everybody the ball right now. I think last year, when you see how everyone was involved and Adam Thielen was getting the football and Stephon Diggs, everyone was happy. Everyone was performing. Everyone was getting the ball. There were schematically, they were in situations where both of these guys were making big plays. And that's what you're used to seeing from the Vikings. And I think this year, those plays just aren't there. And those plays aren't there for Thielen. Those plays aren't necessarily there for Stephon Diggs, for any of those pass catchers right now because of the quarterback play. And I don't know if that's schematics. I don't know if that's just simply the quarterback. But I think he's unhappy with how he's being utilized, and he's taking things into his own hands. And to his credit, I've known Diggs for some time as well, and he's never been a me guy. He's never been – so this isn't necessarily about putting himself before the team. I think at some point he has to look at his career and where he wants to go trajectory-wise and make a decision.
And listening to him talk, you almost felt like he had a little bit of emotion coming out when saying, I'm a team guy and I'm not a me guy and I'm just trying to put the team first. And as a football player, I know you can, you've experienced this. Mm-hmm. We only have a certain amount of years, and we only have a certain amount of time that we can go out there and play the game. So you don't want to feel like you're wasting a season. And I think that's why a lot of guys, once they realize, look, there's no chance for us to get to the playoffs this year. There's no chance that we're going to win in this division this year. And teams, on the flip side of that, I think they understand, okay, yeah, this season is pretty much over, so let's try and get some value in some of these guys that are good football players. And that's why we're seeing that more this year than maybe in years past.
But I thought the most interesting thing that he said real quick when they asked him if he was going to practice, he was like, I don't know, I hope so.
That lets you know
that he has expressed something to the team, yeah, and he's maybe worried about how they reacted to how he expressed. That's what I'm thinking.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah, I mean, he clearly was not 100% sure,
yeah, like you
from their perspective. And Steve Young joins us now. And Steve, we have talked about this before. Given our conversations, I'm going to assume this doesn't surprise you that we're seeing another example of someone stepping up and saying, this isn't working for me.
No. Players are going to continue to demand it. What's going to be interesting is there going to be a market? And I think the Jalen Ramsey, and if the Diggs situation does go forward and these guys are able to get to new teams, I think the ice will break, because there are a number, I mean, everybody in the league has had moments. The star players, now this is the star players that can do this, because they're not going to risk their career. Other, you know, non-star players are not going to risk their careers to demand a trade. They'll just be cut. And so this is going to be, these star players are going to say, I know there's a better place for me. I know there's a quarterback that'll throw me the ball. I know there's an offensive coordinator that'll take care of me. And that's just going to continue to grow. And I think this is really the really important time, Wendy, right now. Because if Jalen Ramsey doesn't get moved, and Diggs does not get moved, and they kind of, you know, kind of chill this whole thing and can stop it, then this market will not be, you know, kind of a burgeoning market. But if they start to be able to be moved, then everyone in the league will realize, I can make my way out of here, and I want to be somebody somewhere else. And to the point, just, I don't know if it was Victor or Rob made it, but the average career is 3.2 years in the NFL, and players are very aware of it. And if I'm going to be great, I'm going to be great right now.
Well, there's no question it's a pivotal point in the league. We'll see. Diggs, by the way, signed a 5-year, $72 million extension last year, the 13th highest paid receiver currently in the NFL. Week 5, as I mentioned, gets underway tonight. We've got the Rams and the Seahawks. Russell Wilson, by the way, looking to continue his hot start. The Seahawks QB has thrown 8 touchdowns, no picks this year. Todd Gurley, meanwhile, has to get back on track, a career-low 5 carries on Sunday, and his lack of touches has been a big storyline for this team all season. Jared Goff looking for his fourth straight win over Seattle. Goff passed for over 500 yards, but also threw three interceptions in Sunday's loss. Mark Schwartz joins us now, and the biggest storyline, as I mentioned, Mark, surrounding the Rams has been the use or lack thereof of Todd Gurley in Tampa last week.
Wendy, remember back in the day when Todd McVay used to feed Todd Gurley the ball over and over and over again, and the Rams would take 35-3 leads at halftime? Well, that was another era. This is the era of load management. But in the case of Todd Gurley, this is the lowest average number of touches and yards from scrimmage per game that he's had on the course of his career. 15 touches per game, 70 yards. Forget about load management. How about mood management? Gurley is not happy about it. He had a very salty exchange with a reporter the other day before the trip to Seattle. And all that Sean McVay can say is, hey, man, I can't imagine getting all those questions. I think he's handling it great. Well, we'll see how McVay handles it tonight. Robert Woods on the phone told me that, look, you know, we were down 21 points right away in that game against Tampa Bay. Our game plan changed, but he goes, we have to find that arrogance that we've always had, and we'll do it in a hostile environment tonight where the Rams have won two straight. On the other side of the ball, the Seahawks have a quarterback who is playing probably better than any quarterback in the NFL. And Pete Carroll has noticed, says Russell Wilson is off to the greatest start of his career, and you can't argue. 73% completion rate leads the NFL. 8 touchdowns against no interceptions. And I spoke with center Justin Britt on the phone. He's taken pretty much given every snap to Russell Wilson for the last 5 seasons since he's been in the league. He says Russ's confidence is at an all-time high. And he said before the season, we, the offensive line, made a commitment to keep Russ clean every play. And that meant working on fundamentals. That's been an issue for years in Seattle. They're keeping the pocket clean, and Russ is hitting tight windows. Wendy?
Mark, that confidence is well-earned. There's no question. Thank you. Ball security, meanwhile, has been an issue for Jared Goff this season. The Rams quarterback leads the league with 9 turnovers. That does include 6 interceptions, already half as many as he threw during the entire 2018 season. So Steve Young is back with us. And Steve, when you have watched Jared Goff in the first month, what have you seen?
No help from the running back. I mean, that's what he had. And that makes huge difference. That makes play action. You come off a play action fake with Todd Gurley now as a huge threat, running the ball 15, 20, 30 times a game. Now all of a sudden the linebackers suck up. The space to throw the football is huge. Number one is always open. And now all of a sudden without the threat of the running game, we're seeing that the number one is not always open. And Jared Goff is still young. He is not good enough to just put this team on his back. He could get there, but not yet. He needs help. And if he doesn't get help from that running game, this is going to be a very difficult process because you know they're going to have to throw. If the defense continues to struggle, hitting the quarterback, the opposing quarterback, they're going to give up some points. And that's just going to make that race even tougher for Jared Goff to keep up. This is a tight little window right now, and they've got to figure out how to start running the football.
Well, it is a tight window, Steve. You're right. As we take a look at the Modelo Gold Standard stat, Russell Wilson has won over 80% of his games in prime time. That includes tonight. It's prime time. Since the merger, the best prime time win percentage of any starting quarterback with at least 10 starts. That's Russell Wilson, and it comes courtesy of the Elias Sports Bureau. The Chargers, one of 13 teams, sitting at 2-2. Austin Ekeler ranks 5th in scrimmage yards. Now his running mate, Melvin Gordon, has returned after ending his holdout. Keenan Allen has been the league's best receiver through the month of September. Allen leading the NFL in both catches and receiving yards. And that's helped mask some of the injuries in the secondary. Derwin James began the year on IR, and his replacement, Adrian Phillips, is also on injured reserve. Happy to have with us now Chargers head coach Anthony Lynn. And coach, you know I have to start with Melvin Gordon. He is back and everybody's wondering what the expectations for in terms of his workload Sunday now that he's back.
Well, he's definitely going to get some work Sunday, Wendy, but we have to be careful how much he get because he's only had 4 practices. So it'd be tempting to leave him in there and let him run because he's a heck of a runner, heck of a player. But we have to be careful.
Coach, do you expect him to start?
Yes, he probably will start. You know, he's looked good in his last 3 practices. He's in good shape. I can't say that he would get the bulk of the snaps, but he probably will start.
Coach, you know, it's interesting. So many coaches often tell us that they know the identity of their team four, maybe five games into the season. So how would you describe your team right now, this particular Chargers squad, as we move into October?
Well, I tell you, it's been hard to define the identity of this team because we've had so many players in and out of the lineup with injuries. You know, it's been a while since I've had a season with this many injuries this early. But I love the way the guys are stepping up and responding, especially the young guys. But, you know, I feel like if this team can get up, we have a veteran quarterback who gets everyone involved. If this team can get up on people with our pass rush, then I feel like, you know, we can get after the quarterback a little bit. But I like playing from a lead.
Well, I guess you do. Since you mentioned injuries, let me ask you about Derwin James and a potential timetable for his return.
You know, I don't like to put timetables on players' injuries because everyone's different, but we could possibly see DJ early December, late November.
So, Coach, in the short term, and I know every week for NFL head coaches is the short term, you've got the Broncos, and that means Von Miller. What do you have to do to game plan for what he can do?
Well, you have to know where Von's at all times. I mean, he is a game wrecker. He's one of the best rushers in that game. He plays a run hard, just as hard as he pass rush. So, you know, we have a plan to give our right tackle some help and things like that. But, you know, even everyone has that plan, and he still wrecked games. So we just have to know where he's at. Bradley Chubb was doing a heck of a job for them. They're going to miss him. But, you know, the young man is coming in to back up. Bradley, you know, he's a good rusher as well. So you can't always give Von, you know, some help. You help everyone. But he's a heck of a player. Can't say enough good things about him. But we will know where he's at all times. I can tell you that.
I guess you do. We talked about your defense. We talked about their defense. I'd be remiss not to ask you about your offense. I mentioned Keenan Allen earlier in his production, obviously functioning very well with Phillip Rivers. What have you seen between those two that is allowing for this kind of productivity?
Well, those two have great chemistry. I mean, there are some concepts where they'll go off the reservation and they still complete passes. And that's just chemistry between those two and practice every day. Keenan doesn't miss a lot of practice time, and Phil doesn't miss any practice time. So they work together all the time. But what I was most impressed with last week was 9 receivers touched the ball. And, you know, Phil did a good job of spreading the wealth to a lot of his other teammates and gaining more trust in them. And that's what we're going to need in the long run, is for everyone to be involved and for everyone to touch that ball.
Coach, it's a busy time of year now, but you had some downtime. And over the summer, you went to Tanzania, in East Africa, to open a school that your organization helped fund. What was that experience like?
Man, it seemed like that was 2 or 3 years ago, but I guess that was just July. But that was a game changer. I mean, it was I was glad to have my whole family there to experience that situation, that experience. And, you know, just going over to help people and be a blessing to them, and they end up being a blessing to you, it was very impactful both ways.
Well, Coach, I know we get to see that experience that we showcased on an upcoming feature on NFL Countdown. We're looking forward to that, and we look forward to watching your team the rest of the way. Hope you get healthy.
We will. But in the meantime, we'll weather the storm.
All right, Coach. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
We have reports from both teams, starting with Brady Henderson and the Seahawks.
Thanks, Wendy. Russell Wilson gave us a glimpse inside his recovery routine this week. It actually includes a lot of time in the swimming pool. That's something he started doing at the beginning of his second season. He said Tuesday morning before the Seahawks' first team meeting, he was in the pool, got in about 25 laps as he tried to get his body ready for this Thursday night game. And really, considering the short week, the Seahawks are in about as good a shape injury-wise as a team could be. Left tackle Dwayne Brown, he's the only starter on their final injury report, but Pete Carroll said that he's expected to be fine. Now, on the other side of the ball, a lot of talk about Todd Gurley's usage. Bobby Wagner and KJ Wright both said that they see the same Gurley, the same explosive running back, only that he's getting less opportunities. But Wagner said that he would not be surprised to see that change tonight. Now for a report on the Rams, here's Lindsay Theory.
Jared Goff maintained his calm demeanor throughout the short week, but he knows the Rams must start fast on offense. They have yet to score a first quarter touchdown this season. As for Goff's 68 passing attempts last Sunday, well, don't expect a repeat. Goff said, "That's not a world we want to live in. It's not built for success." So tonight, look for the Rams to try to establish the run. Now, Todd Gurley has yet to have a breakout performance this season, and he has grown visibly and audibly frustrated with reporters as questions continue about the health of his left knee and his decline in production. Before departing for Seattle, a reporter asked Gurley what determines his rotation with backup Malcolm Brown. Gurley told the reporter, "I think you've asked this question before, so go look up the answer I gave you last time." Wendy?
That does sound like frustration. Thank you, Lindsay. It's been a steep decline for Gurley through the first 13 weeks of last year. He led the league in scrimmage yards and ranked second in touches. But since the Bears shut down the Rams week 14, Gurley has simply not produced at that level. And, of course, questions have continued to linger about the health of his knee. We say hello now from our Domino pregame headquarters, and we'll start with the case of Todd Gurley. I think it's clear, though, that he's just not 100% healthy, JoJo.
Well, it's interesting because when I covered the Rams, I believe, week two in L.A., you know, their running backs coach, Skip Pete, specifically told me that the ratio that he would like between Todd Gurley and Malcolm Brown is for Todd to have 65% and for Malcolm to have 35%. And I think between the first two games, that's pretty much what we were seeing. Obviously, in Tampa Bay, they also, you know, fell behind. And I was actually also at the game when they played against the Browns. And let me tell you, that Browns defense that day when I believe the Browns were up 6-3 at that point, they were just hitting. You know what I mean? So I think it's a combination of also who they've played in the circumstance of the game relative to the last two games compared to the first two games. But when I talked to the coach, he didn't have anything to say about Todd Gurley's health that is impacting the way he's playing right now, but they did admit that they are trying to have a long-term plan for him to be more productive down the road.
Well, it's a long season, and we talked about this, I think, earlier in the week. It's a team, too, that will likely see the postseason. So you're talking about 16 games plus some, and they probably have to manage his workload.
Yeah, but you don't make it there if you don't – I understand you're managing his workload, but you don't make it to the postseason if you don't have a running game that is sufficient, that is efficient, that can get the ball down the field, that can run the ball between the numbers. That's what the Los Angeles Rams do. That's their – that's what makes them successful. That's what makes them good is that play-action pass with Jared Goff, the threat of Todd Gurley, you know, getting a big gain or creating a huge play with his legs. That's what makes this offense great, and that's what's missing right now in this offense. Jared Goff just isn't in a position in his career to throw 68 times.
That's an anomaly. Obviously, he's not going to have five carries every week. I mean,
I'm going off of what I'm seeing right
now.
Five carries this week, and that shouldn't be. If you're going to create some type of continuity, especially in the first half, it wasn't a complete blowout the whole game. You have to build some continuity throughout the game, and five carries for your stud running back, it's just not going to cut it.
When I watch him play right now, instead of one cut and downhill, I see 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And then the cut. It's not an instant stick your foot in the ground and redirect. Like most explosive running backs that are healthy on each side of their leg, they can cut and they can get downhill. You see it. And then the second they cut, it's boom, straight up the field. I don't see that A to B explosiveness.
That burst.
So what does that tell you, Rob?
That he's dealing with a knee injury. And maybe it's a long-term thing that possibly will never be what it once was. So, I mean, once you get older and, you know, the Rams, yeah, they built the success for Goff off of the running game and feeding him the ball. But guess what? Eventually, that wears you down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I'm not necessarily saying I don't, you know, see that. I'm just recalling the game when I was in L.A., and I saw him, you know, have some production in that game. But also, Brandon Cooks was getting off. Kupp was having a monster game, and they have to, you know, also kind of figure out the distribution between those weapons, too. But I hear what you're saying. You know, I don't know how much the burst is by comparison to when he was just workhorse in a game. Mm-hmm. I hear what you're saying, but obviously I know that their goal is not to have five carries.
Well,
you know,
sure.
And that we're not going to see
yeah,
that.
No, I don't think that's that's what they're aiming for. Mm-hmm. Time now for our game pass. We'll look at some of the keys of this game. We got a lot of stars featuring tonight in week five, the debut. Let's start with the quarterback, Jared Goff. Jared Goff.
68 attempts is not going to cut it. And every time you throw the ball, it's a chance for an interception. He throws three in this game. So you see the pressure here. He feels it and just kind of gets the ball's hit, and then boom, it's up in the air for an interception. That's a game-changing play.
Yep.
Now you see here, another pressure, but then he comes out. The linebacker gets out of the protection here and then into the window there for another interception, which is it on the quarterback? Of course it is. And then again, here, when you feel the pressure, you cannot panic, and you cannot try to throw the ball away, because this is what happens. A scoop and a score. And at the end of the day, In the last 10 regular season football games, Jared Goff has fumbled the football in every single game. In the last 10 regular season games, he's lost 8 of those. So when you fumble the football and you turn it over, your chance of winning is very small.
He is leading the league in turnovers, as we mentioned before. How about Cooper Kupp?
Cooper Kupp has just been playing great. I mean, he's just been balling. He has 32 catches, which is third in the NFL. He's been that go-to receiver for Jared Goff. I think that trio of receivers has been really, really good. But Cooper Kupp specifically, especially, I mean, that route right there is indicative of what he's been doing to DBs all year long thus far. And he's going to continue to do so as long as Jared Goff keeps finding them and they keep making big plays.
Walk me through what you need to see from Bobby Wagner, Rob.
The guy's consistent. I mean, you know he's going to be there week in and week out. He's the leader of that defense. He's always going to be at this game. And when you can count on somebody to be there, guess what? He's reliable. And you always have to account for him on the football field. He makes plays. He's always around the football. And they also added Quentin Jefferson, who also is an impact player on the inside there, getting after the quarterback.
Funny you mentioned reliable, because that's been this guy since the start of the season.
He just needs to continue to do more of the same. No turnovers. Get him out in some bootlegs. Get him out to in that comfort zone. He's comfortable doing anything in the pocket. Obviously, pirouetting outside of the pocket like that.
Did you just say pirouetting?
Like, I mean, that's
wow.
The balance.
Ballet terms.
The vernacular is wide open today. Just continue to be efficient, Russell, and you'll be great.
All right, Chris Carson, Rob.
And my guy, my fantasy running back right here, running the ball. Last week against Arizona, 104 rushing yards, 4 catches for 41 yards. They have to have the running game to help Russell Wilson continue.
And that was against the Cardinals.
It was.
And
so guess what?
Rams tonight.
If he can keep doing this, Seattle's going to continue to win.
Tyler Lockett for Victor.
Tyler Lockett's a guy who I love. He stretches the field. He's not a big body, but he's got toughness for days, and he can get himself open with that speed and quickness and agility. He's got 26 catches on the year already. They just got to keep finding him. And sometimes him not getting the ball and stretching the field is a play within itself as well. It gets other guys open underneath because of the threat of him going deep. Is that
so
great?
Tough. He's like my height, but he's so tough.
That's a tough.
I mean, it's true, but
you have to come at his height.
And finally, the big man, Aaron Donald.
I'm telling you, Clay Matthews was licking his chops to play next to Aaron Donald, because guess what? Every single team is accounting for Aaron Donald, because if you don't block him, he's going to ruin the game for you. And Clay Matthews has 5 sacks on the year, surpasses 2018 totals for sacks. So guess what? He is reaping the benefits playing next to a guy like that, Aaron Donald.
All right, well, guess what? This might not be good news for the Seahawks. Aaron Donald loves playing the Seahawks.
Well, there you go.
There you go.
Stay tuned for our picks at the end of the game.
He has sacked Russell Wilson 10.5 times. That's tied for the most times any player has sacked a quarterback in that span. And he'll be looking, of course, to add to that total tonight. And we'll say hello now to Steve Young. And Steve, I guess left-handed quarterbacks becoming an endangered species in the NFL, and we haven't seen one since you heard Peyton reference Kellen Moore.
Yeah.
But we've got Alabama's Tua Tagovailoa out there. What impresses you most about this Alabama junior?
Well, first of all, that he's lefty. I mean, for 4 years, that's 256 open jobs that are filled by right-handed players, not one lefty. Tua is going to be around for a long time. He's going to be my lefty for a while. And the reason why is he's a thrower of the football. He is not just a dual threat, because he's very dynamic and can really move around. But he is a guy that throws anticipatory. Now, it's like people can say, oh, of course, because every Alabama receiver is wide open. What's the big deal? In the end, you have a sense of it. And you can see it from the first time he stepped on the field. He has a sense of delivering the ball in a way that throws people open. And that is a skill that's innate, and I think that he has it. And I think it's going to be fun to watch him continue to develop in the NFL. I'm loving the fact that we might have one of 250 over the last 4 years and 5 years. That would be another 64 jobs. So over 300 open jobs over the 5 years that only one guy, Tua, starts to fill.
He's coming, Steve. He's headed your way. Just give him time.
But what is wrong, Wendy? Wait a second. We can't let this go.
What?
Why is that? Are people they against left-handers?
Is there some larger bias, Steve? I don't know. Maybe.
By definition, there's a bias. How could there possibly be not a lefty in the NFL unless there's a bias? It's obvious. I just don't know where it comes from.
Well, should we blame you? I feel like maybe. I don't know.
Blame me? Doug Scoble at BYU, my freshman year, says, you're not going to play quarterback because you're lefty. So I faced it. I'm wondering 30 years later, is it still coach to say, look, you're lefty, I'm not going to coach you. I have no idea, but something's up.
All right, we're putting people on that. It's happening right now. We will find out and circle back, okay? In the meantime, all right, I got some QB Q&A for you, and we're going to talk about the AFC South. You want to talk about quarterback situations? We've certainly gotten some, and it's the only division where all four teams are 2-2. So if you're the Jaguars and you got this Gardner Minshew guy, Minshew Mania, here he comes, what do you do when and if Nick Foles returns?
I think you have to be super careful here. Now, I think Gardner has proven that he can come on and handle. I think both players are not toxic. That's a huge piece of the puzzle. And so I suspect that Nick will play and Gardner will have to sit down for a minute. But everyone knows that's going to be a dynamic situation. Gardner is, it feels a little Tony Romo-ish, that Tony kind of came from the same kind of a background. And so I actually believe that he can do these kinds of things. And so I'm not going to be shocked if they don't start Gardner Minshew.
All right, and let's talk about Deshaun Watson among the league leaders with 18 sacks. What can he do to help with the pass protection?
I think he needs to start, taking his left arm and trying to get stronger so he can push defensive linemen back, because he's not getting the help. He is under siege, and when you protect him, it is going to be, look, you're going to look back as a criminal act of the Texans to not protect him, because when he's protected, he is already one of the best, and I can't stand to see somebody who could be so great and not having the chance to get the help he needs.
It's so true. Meanwhile, if Marcus Mariota continues to be up one week, down the next, and you're the Titans, and you have to make a decision, what do you do beyond the season?
Well, the Titans are not the quarterback-friendliest place. Of all the places that I could choose in the NFL to go play, it would not be one of my top 15 or 20. So I don't know if it's that. His inconsistency is about where he is, or that's who he is. And so I don't know that I'm sure exactly how to deal with that, but I think it has to lay mostly on Marcus. And so, yes, I don't think he makes it because he's not consistent enough.
All right, and in Indianapolis, Jacoby Brissett, multiple touchdown passes in every game. Do you expect he'll sustain this kind of production for an entire season?
I personally believe that anyone that plays for Frank Reich, I would love to play for Frank Reich. If you took of all the teams I just said that are quarterback friendly, this is the top of the heap. I want to play for Frank Reich, and the quarterbacks that play for him will thrive. And I think Jacoby's thriving because of that, and I think that will continue.
So much depends on the situation. Steve, thank you. Don't forget quarterback bingo, so don't go anywhere, okay?
Oh, I would never.
I know.
It's my whole week, as you know.
I do. Well, according to our New York Giants Nation reporter, Jordan Renan, Saquon Barkley says he got to do a little more on Thursday. Felt good. He got to open up, run full speed, and cut more. He was evasive on a time frame, though, and how close he is to returning, but that we're even talking about this is somewhat remarkable. The Green Bay Packers and the Dallas Cowboys each looking to recover from their respective losses in Week 4, although only one will win Week 5 when they face each other. Unlike most years during the Aaron Rodgers era in Green Bay, it's been the Packers' defense that has shouldered the load in September. Here's Ed Werder with more.
Well, Wendy, the Cowboys are coming off a loss in which the opponent pressured Dak Prescott more often than he had been in any game this season. Protecting him Sunday against the Packers could be an even greater challenge. With the Cowboys investing 3 first-round draft choices on their offensive line, Prescott has been among the most well-protected quarterbacks in football. He's been sacked just 3 times. But injuries jeopardize all those clean pockets this week against Green Bay. The Cowboys could be without both starting offensive tackles. Left tackle Tyron Smith is virtually certain to miss the game with a high ankle sprain. Right tackle Lael Collins is progressing from a back injury, but continues to miss time on the practice field. The Packers spent in free agency to improve their pass rush. Preston Smith and Za'Darius Smith have combined for 7.5 sacks. And Wendy, head coach Jason Garrett said something interesting last week that resonates now. You'll never see the skill on your team if you don't win on the offensive and defensive lines.
Ed, thank you. And you know what? It's time for another edition of Cruise Control.
Here we are, Wendy.
The road less traveled, as I often think, Victor. With the cartoon hands here, yep. Is in the driver's seat.
Oh, this Lord. Is me. They put sunglasses on me. I'll take it.
Cue up our first row.
Ready for the first one?
I know how to do this,
I think.
There we go. Ooh, look at there. Okay. Aaron Rodgers, one direction. Dak Prescott, the other. The question, the bigger impact in this game.
The bigger impact in this game for me will be Aaron Rodgers. So for me, Dak Prescott, I believe that the formula has been, or the blueprint, I should say, has been made on how to beat the Dallas Cowboys. You make Dak Prescott beat you. You make him play quarterback. So I'm giving my guy Aaron Rodgers here.
little rocket.
Oh, a little rocket. I was hoping we'd get a tractor here. Middle America.
I did it, but no, I used the tractor a couple times. I got some new emojis here. They didn't give me all of them, but I'll take it. Aaron Rodgers, he doesn't like losing. He's coming off of a loss, a last-minute loss at the end of the game. He wants to avenge that. He wants to come out and prove to everyone that he can continue to be that quarterback, continue to be, you know, the Aaron Rodgers of old. And he's going to be throwing the ball a lot to those playmakers. Devontae, a lot of different guys will be seeing the football and getting after it this week.
I will say this. I think he's grateful for that defense and the way they've played. But I do think that he wants to prove, hey, this offense is a calling card of this team.
They started well. He's already started to prove that just from the beginning of the season to a certain extent.
All right, so no disagreement here. We're all going down the road.
Aaron Rodgers is going to have a long day with Robert Quinn on the other side of that. On the other side of the ball, Robert Quinn last week was getting after the New Orleans Saints. So I think it's going to be a long day for Rodgers. And Dak, you know, he's going to be at home. He's going to establish the running game, establish the play-action pass. So I think I'm going to go with my guy Dak on this one at home.
Your jetpack's going on the other side.
I'm going on this side. I'm going Dak on this one.
All right, let's talk about another NFC East team and their quarterback situation. Redskins coach Jay Gruden has decided to not name a starter yet for Sunday's game against the Patriots. Here's current starter Case Keenum on how the rookie Dwayne Haskins looked in his debut last weekend.
Not my job to assess or judge, you know, how he played, but I thought he battled. And, you know, anytime you come off the bench when you haven't practiced all week, it's tough.
Whoever plays has to be ready to play, so I'll make sure I'm ready if I need to.
Well, I think we have a good room. I think they're doing a great job with us. Dwayne and Case and I have been in there together for a while now, and we'll support whatever Jay decides to do.
All right, for the first time, we got a three-way road here. Any number of ways you can travel. Case Keenum, Colt McCoy, or Dwayne Haskins?
Well, I think for this one specifically, it's tough. I don't think they want to put the young guy out there consistently. I think they still want to see him grow and mature within that offense and as he continues to learn what it is to be a quarterback in the National Football League. But I do think if Colt McCoy is healthy, and they said he's practiced the last four games, I'm going with a tractor on this one.
Oh, finally. There it is. He loves his tractor.
So if Colt McCoy is healthy, I think it's going to be Colt. I think Coach Gruden says how much he loves Colt McCoy, how he's been there for the six seasons that Gruden has been there. He's ranted and raved about it. I think he was going to be the starter before he got hurt. But I do think it'll be Colt McCoy that will be the starter.
Who do you think gives him the best chance? Who's the best quarterback of the three?
Well,
who gives them the spark?
Well, I think it's Colt McCoy.
Who gives them the spark?
I think when you see Colt McCoy play and when he's played with them, he's done good things.
You drafted the man. He's a
who gives them
I need to do
spark.
Something real quick. This is what I need to do.
I mean, Jesus.
I'm just saying, I don't see this.
The tractor has been hijacked.
I want to put a crying face on both of these two guys because they need to be on the bench.
Rob, thank you for injecting some sense into this segment.
What happened?
You got to let
I don't think now is the time.
Why is it not the time? Why is it not the time?
Because you don't want to throw because they're 0-4. You're throwing them into the fire.
But that's how he learns.
That's how you learn.
I tell you what, I want to give you the best. That's how he learns.
I want to come in fresh.
So you're throwing up the guy.
So it's better to put a bib around him.
So you had the training wheels on.
That's how you learn.
Right now, if they feel like he's not ready to watch him, it's probably for a reason.
Let me tell you this. This discussion that we're having is indicative, I think, of the problem. These are the discussions they're having internally. They don't agree any more than we do, which is part of the problem.
What the Redskins really need to do is call the police.
Vic has the training wheels.
They're in trouble.
Vic had the training wheels on when he was 10. Just
all right. I know.
Did they put the training wheels on you, or did they let you go?
Speaking of the Redskins, rookie wide receiver Terry McLaurin ranks as one of the top receivers through the first quarter of the season. More impressive, McLaurin or Hollywood Brown?
This is tough for me. Obviously, two stud wide receivers, but I had to give
this
the edge.
This is in your wheelhouse.
I had to give the edge, a slight edge, and this is tough because the stats are the same. These guys are both been balling, but I got to give the slight edge, and I'm using the same emoji twice. This is rare. To my guy, Hollywood Brown, mainly because of the consistency with the quarterback and that relationship that's going to be fruitful for years to come. They're already on the same page. They already understand each other. They're getting the ball. They understand the nuances of the position between quarterback and receiver.
What are you talking
about? And they're figuring it out there on the football field.
Dude, this guy has set records in like the first 3 weeks of the season.
And he's got more receiving yards.
I saw more about this guy.
He's got more catches and more receiving yards than that guy.
I can't say it off the top of my
head. Not by much, like one catch and two catches extra and a couple more yards.
And listen,
but he's still there.
Cruise control, you go ahead.
And he's got three.
Cruise control, because I don't know what to talk
about
today.
He's riding in the passenger seat on this one. Jacksonville Jaguars owner Shad Khan says he has no plan to trade his disgruntled cornerback Jalen Ramsey. Khan told the Associated Press on Wednesday that it was best for the team to have Ramsey be a part. And so for that, we say hello to Josina, Cup of Joe, as we go inside some of the bigger storylines. And it's Thursday. We've been talking about this pretty extensively since the start of last week or so, JoJo, or even before that. And yet again, we see a situation that I guess we'd say is status quo with Jalen Ramsey and the Jags.
Yeah, well, we just heard the owner come out and say that, you know, despite the fact that he respects Jalen Ramsey's position and understands what has been going on right now, they feel like the best thing for them to do is to keep Jalen Ramsey on the team. Now, you see that he left his paternity leave, did fly out to Denver, was at least there on the sidelines. The team was able to win despite the fact that he didn't play. So they feel like they've continued their mojo with their quarterback being Gardner Minshew. But I was just told within the last hour or so that nothing has changed with regards to his stance. And so right now we're in the midst of a standoff still.
That's what it seems like. I mean, nothing's going to change, I think, until something sort of dramatically changes. That's the understatement. Mm-hmm. But anyway, more of the same. What can we say? All right. What can we say about the Browns? We had talked so much about them before the season. Then we sort of got on their case a little bit. And then the big win over Baltimore. What's their take?
Well, very interesting, because you're right. There was a lot said coming into that game against the Ravens. And then here you had Baker Mayfield have his best game in terms of completion percentage and also quarterback rating after that. So I asked the source, do you think this has anything to do with the fact that Rex Ryan made that comment as far as Baker Mayfield being overrated as hell? And he said, no, what I think it has to do with the fact is that Freddie Kitchens actually spent more one-on-one time with Baker Mayfield up through that week. And he said usually the coaches have their own way in terms of spending time with their position groups. But he literally told Mayfield, this is what I want from each play. And he think that has to do more with how he performed as opposed to, he said, I ain't nobody paying attention to no Rex Ryan. That's what's basically what they told me. And then I asked him, well, why do you think Chubb was able to get off? Obviously, he had a season-high 165 rushing yards in this particular game. And, you know, Earl Thomas got into it with Brandon Williams for not playing, and they thought it had to do with that. But he said it was more because we bounced the ball more outside. Brandon Williams not being there for us didn't really matter because we weren't going up through the tackles as much. And then finally with them playing the 49ers, I said, what do you think about that? Because they are 3-0. He said their first two wins came against teams that are not necessarily playing as great, the Bucks and the Bengals. But we like our chances regardless.
All right. And it's a primetime game. Another
it's
time,
game.
Center stage for the Browns once again. Listen, I hate to go back to it. Everybody, every country's been heard from on this, but perhaps some additional information on what we can expect out of Washington in their quarterback question.
Well, it's very interesting because there's so much talk about Jay Gruden and what's his status. And if you remember, in his first two seasons, he went from 4-9 wins. Last year, people forget that they started off 6-3, but they had the quarterback carousel. So when I talked to a Redskins source just within the last hour, he said, listen, I basically feel like this is going to come down to how Daniel Snyder feels when he comes out of that box when the Super Bowl champions come into town in Washington and what his mood is. He said, if anything should have happened, probably should have happened 2 years ago, but it didn't. So he said, I'm just going to let it play out. And then I said, well, what do you think about Haskins, and do you think he should play it, and the fact that he came in the middle of the game? He said, I understand why they did it because Case was struggling, but probably don't think that was the best scenario for Haskins. And then lastly, I was able to ask them, you know, why do you feel like this adversity is still going on? And people made mention of the fact that they haven't been running the ball as much. If you look at their four games since they've been playing right now, I think they've rushed the ball 17, 13, 21, and 17 times. So some people in that locker room feel like they need to get back to doing what was working a little bit better for them at the beginning of the season, even though they've been down in some of those games as well.
Sure. I think it's fair to characterize it's a very fluid situation in Washington, not just with the quarterback situation, but the head coach as well. We'll have to see. Tough matchup when you're struggling to get the New England Patriots. Without further ado, Matthew Berry's Week 5 Love-Hate, and we shall start with a running back, yes?
100% a running back, and it's Sony Michel, who has struggled so far this year, but he makes the love list, Wendy. You know, he's had at least 15 carries in 3-4 games so far this year. Believe it or not, Sony Michel also leads the NFL with 11 different carries inside the 10-yard line. I think he gets into the end zone in a game in which the Patriots are heavily favored, and the Redskins allow the fourth most rushing yards this season. So Sony Michel,
finally,
who has struggled this year, I'm telling you, this is the week for Sony Michel as that Patriots run game gets going. How about
this
Adam
one is
Thielen?
Interesting. After
Why? Well,
the
listen.
Week. Yeah.
Squeaky wheel gets the grease.
Fair
I am
point.
Like, it's one thing to apologize in person, Wendy. It's another thing to apologize with a deep ball, and I think he's going to get some of them. Remember, Thielen has 8 of Minnesota's 13 deep targets so far this season. Giants, by the way, have allowed the second most touchdowns and third most yards on deep passes this season. You can throw deep on New York.
Don't send flowers, send long balls.
I'm just saying, right,
See,
Kirk? That's what we're talking about
by.
Here. And how about Jacoby Brissett, who's the only quarterback in the NFL to throw multiple touchdown passes in all 4 weeks so far this season. Over under this game is 54 points. So we know this is going to be a shootout. He's going to have to throw to keep up. Chiefs allow 19.8 fantasy points to opposing quarterbacks this season. That's 8th most in the NFL. Remember, this is a guy that's had 287 passing yards each of the last 2 weeks, one of them without T.Y. Hilton.
All right, give me a quarterback.
So these,
oh, actually,
these
we're going to go to matchups
running backs,
we don't like.
And
okay.
These are the matchups that I don't love. And you had me at Chicago here, Wendy. Remember, you know, two of the six slowest moving offenses in the NFL here, Oakland and Chicago. So I think it's a low scoring game. It's a very low over under here. And Jacobs, who hasn't been involved in the passing game really much, just 3 catches in 4 games totally. Total, I have him outside my top 20 against the Bears in London.
We're not liking DJ Moore in this one.
Yeah, you know what? It's unfortunate. It's all small sample size here, but the last 2 weeks, just 4 total catches with Kyle Allen under center, a 12.1% target share compared with 28% with Cam Newton. For whatever reason, Kyle Allen and DJ Moore don't seem to get on the same page just yet. And if Jalen Ramsey plays in this game, you certainly lower the matchup even more.
And finally, a quarterback.
Dak Prescott, who's been nothing short of fantastic so far this year, but if you look over his career, in games without Tyron Smith, and we don't expect Smith to play in this game, his fantasy points have dropped by over 12%. And you think about the Packers, who allow just 10 fantasy points per game to opposing quarterbacks this year. Their secondary's been so good that their run defense has been brutal. We all saw Jordan Howard run for 3 touchdowns last week. I think this is a big Ezekiel Elliott game. I don't think Dak has to throw a ton here. So, yeah, he's outside my top 10 for the week.
Time for making smarter decisions informed by IBM Watson. Watson projects Todd Gurley to fall between 7 and 23 fantasy points tonight. That high projection, by the way, ranks 12th among running backs. All right, Steve Young, we'll pick first, and we'll where's Steve? Go ahead, Steve. Take
where
it away.
Steve?
I have Seattle 37-34. I think it's going to be a great game. There's no question that the Rams are going to struggle for a little while here until they get their running game going. If Todd Gurley, this watching for how many runs he has, that needs to end. He needs to get healthy, and they can start to threaten. Russ Wilson is MVP right now of the NFL, the way he's playing. I think they win this football game at home.
All right, JoJo, agree, disagree?
I disagree. I'm actually going to go with the Rams winning this one 27-24. When I look at the schedule that the Rams had and the teams that they played, and I did the same thing with Seattle, I was trying to be convinced, you know, with the competition, and that led me over to the Los Angeles Rams.
So. Boo! I'm going,
terrible choice.
I'm going Seahawks 30-24. It's 12th man's going to be in full effect. The defense is going to play well, and Russell Wilson's going to have a night.
Steve Young is a smart man. I'm also going with the Seattle Seahawks 28-20. The Seahawks are 8-1 in primetime games.
Ooh.
At home.
Two words for you, Aaron Donald.
I just can't bet against Russell Wilson right now. I just cannot. Jared Goff got a hold on that football. I'm not so sure he does that tonight. I got the Seahawks 24-21.
I'm by myself.
JoJo, somebody's got to be right.
Go.
Somebody's got to be right.